Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
Who gets to see God? We're the select few in this world whose eyes get to be opened. Matthew 5:8, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they and they alone will see God." The pure in heart. Now let's talk about what purity is, because there's a little bit of misunderstanding in this. When we use the term purity, generally we tend to speak of it predominantly in a sexual context. Somebody says, "Oh, I'm struggling with purity." What they mean is they're talking about a problem with lying or selfishness or something. They're talking about sexual sin when they say that. And that's how we're used to that term being used. That's not how it's used in the Bible, though. It's not restricted to that. The particular word here is just the normal word for the Greek word for clean. It means clean. It's used for like clean clothes. And when in a Jewish context, when they hear the word clean, one thing came to their mind. Ceremonial cleanness. That's what came to their mind. They believed if you follow all the ceremonial rules, you're clean. If you break them, you're unclean and need to be cleansed before you can approach God. That was their religion. And Jesus showed them again and again and again and again that religious and ceremonial cleanness on the outside is meaningless if there's not cleanness on the inside. And that's what he's just trying to drill into them all the time, especially the Pharisees. Matthew 25:23. You clean the outside of the cup and the dish. Talking about their hearts. Their themselves. But inside, they're full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee. Now notice, greed and self-indulgence, not necessarily sexual sin, but any kind of heart-dirtying sin. Verse 26, blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will be also clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Clean on the outside, defiled on the inside. And so, what does it mean to be defiled on the inside? What makes the heart dirty? What is it that defiles the heart? Let's look back to the Old Testament context. Now, turn to Psalm 24. Each one of these Beatitudes, we've seen that they arise from some Old Testament passage where Jesus draws the language. This one comes from Psalm 24. Who can see God? Who can draw near to Him and behold His glory and experience His nearness and His attributes? That same question is basically what's being asked in Psalm 24, verse 3. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in His holy place? Who may approach Him? That's the same thing. Who may see Him? Answer, verse 4. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands and a pure heart. See, in the Greek translation, the exact same term is in the Beatitude. Verse 5. He will receive a blessing from the Lord. Blessed are those. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Verse 6. Such is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek Your face, O God of Jacob. So who receives a blessing from God? Who can approach and go in to see God? He who has a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So what does the psalmist mean? If we want to know, Jesus doesn't expand on purity of heart. He just says it. He leaves it to us to go back to the Old Testament context to find out what that means. So let's see what it means. Verse 4. Because in the psalm, in verse 4, he goes on and tells us exactly what it means. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, that is, he who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. That's what cleanness of heart means. Not lifting up your soul to an idol and not swearing by what's false. In other words, don't be guilty of idolatry. Those are two descriptions of idol worship. In the Bible, dirtiness of heart refers to idol worship, almost always. It's talking about idolatry. Ezekiel 36:25 is an example. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean, and I will cleanse you from all your idols. See, it's the idols that dirty the heart. It's idolatry that defiles the heart. But what I think is fascinating about this Psalm 24 is the way that the psalmist describes idol worship. He mentions two different kinds of worship. Lifting up the soul and swearing. Now that seems a little odd. At first, sounds kind of strange the way to describe worship. Swearing? Swearing is worship? The thing you need to understand here is this isn't talking about foul language. Not that kind of swearing. It's talking about swearing an oath. When you make an oath, the purpose of the oath is to demonstrate to others how serious you are about being truthful by the fact that you're swearing on something sacred, something you consider sacred. In our judicial system in the United States, there's a tradition of putting your hand on a Bible in a court of law. That tradition dates back to a culture when the people were actually afraid to lie to the God of the Bible. By swearing by a particular God, that what that means is that you fear that God. And you take Him seriously as a God that must not be offended. So that's why swearing is worship. You're treating that thing as God. So swearing is an act of worship because it's an act of loyalty to that God. I won't ever cross you. I won't lie to you. And it's a statement of how worthy that God is to be feared. The other form of worship mentioned in Psalm 24 is the lifting of the soul. Psalm 24:4, he who has clean hands and pure heart, that is, he who does not lift up his soul to an idol. So what does that mean? To lift up your soul. The soul is the seat of appetite. The seat of the appetite. All cravings, desires, longings, wants, appetites, drives, all that is your soul. That's the part of you that wants and craves. That's your soul. In fact, sometimes the Hebrew word for soul, nephesh, is just translated appetite. It's the normal Hebrew word for appetite. For example, Numbers 11:6. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. This manna. We lost our appetite. Not even hungry anymore. It's talking about physical appetite for food. And it's the word nephesh, soul. Proverbs 16:26. The laborer's appetite, soul, works for him. His hunger drives him on. You see, his appetite is the same thing as his hunger there in the parallelism. So the soul is the seat of the appetite. So lifting up your soul, lifting up your appetites to a God means to look to that thing as that which will satisfy your appetites. That's what it means. If I think this is the solution to my craving and my emptiness and my longing is a vacation, then what I'm doing is lifting up my soul to a vacation. If you think that what's really going to satisfy you in your life is a spouse or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever, some kind of relationship, then you're lifting up your soul to that relationship. If you think money will do the trick, then you're lifting up your soul to money. And so one of the highest expressions of worship in Scripture is when somebody lifts up his soul to God and says, God, you're the only one that can satisfy my appetites and my soul. I look to you alone for that. Psalm 25:1. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. So, Psalm 24:4 describes two forms of worship, lifting up the soul and swearing. Looking to God as the only satisfier of the soul, fearing God as the ultimate authority who's not to be crossed. So that's what worship is, idol worship is, doing those two things to an idol. Now that we understand that, let's see if we can figure out what a pure heart is in Psalm 24:3. So let's read it. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord and who may stand in His holy place? Who can see God? Verse 4. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. A pure heart is a heart of undivided loyalty to God that's devoid of idolatry. That's a pure heart. A dirty heart is an idolatrous heart. See that? A dirty heart doesn't look to God and a pure heart doesn't look to both God and other stuff to satisfy its desires. It looks to God alone. And it doesn't fear God some and fear other things some. It fears God alone. Dirtiness of heart is divided loyalty. I'll fear man some and I'll fear God some. And I'll crave things some and I'll crave God some. minute ago I read from Ezekiel that promise about God making our hearts pure and clean. He'll cleanse us from the idols. Remember Ezekiel 36:25, I'll sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from your idols. This is the same Greek word, by the way, as purity in the Greek in Matthew 5:8. You'll be pure, your hearts will be pure, I'll purify you from your idols. That same promise is stated another place in Ezekiel in chapter 11. Listen to this, Ezekiel 11:19. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. Another way of saying the same thing. I'll clean your heart from idols. In other words, I'll give you an undivided heart, totally devoted to the Lord.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.